Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get rid of the Republicans. Their time has come. You know, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all.
Obviously.
Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
It has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people, at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. And we need justice for Batfleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know?
Stuffing words.
Damn, God, I hate them. Oh, man.
You are listening to Harm's Way with Ryan Hobbs.
All right, hello, and welcome, everybody, to episode 65 of Harm's Way with me. I am, of course, your humble drunkard from afar. My name is Ryan Harms. Harms' Way, it's my way, and all that awesomeness. Quite a few things to talk about tonight, including my thoughts on Daredevil Season 2. I was finally able to finish watching it just a couple of days ago. And we'll get into that a bit. Also, I'll be sharing my thoughts on WrestleMania, which is this Sunday, of course. But first, foremost, I've got to discuss the national nightmare that is Mr. Trump. The dude, currently Republican frontrunner for president of the United States of America. More specifically, I want to discuss Mr. Trump's war on women. This hasn't been a very good week for Mr. Trump. He's been attacking women, throughout his whole campaign. But there's only been one woman, one person, not necessarily just woman, but only one person that's ever been able to put Mr. Trump in his place. That, of course, was Carly Fiorina. And just to remind everyone, let's take a listen to this little bit of audio.
Fiorina, I do want to ask you about this. In an interview last week in Rolling Stone magazine, Donald Trump said the following about you. Quote, "Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that? Can you imagine that, the face of our next president?" Mr. Trump later said he was talking about your persona, not your appearance. Please feel free to respond what you think about his persona.
You know, it's interesting to me. Mr. Trump said that he heard Mr. Bush very clearly and what Mr. Bush said. I think women all over this country heard very clearly what Mr. Trump said.
She's got a beautiful face, and I think she's a beautiful woman.
Well, I mean, it started way back then, whatever that was, probably September or so. But really, she's been the only person to do any sort of damage to Mr. Trump. Of course, I'm referring to him as such, mostly due to the fact that saying his name on this here show would be cause for chugging a drink, which I'm really not up for at the moment. Not good. Yeah, whatever. Anyways, Mr. Trump's war on women. Let's see, children. Let's put on our thinking caps and remember way back, way, 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 way back. All the way when Mitt Romney was running for president against the current president of the United States, again, whose name shall not be said on this show. Way back when Mitt Romney was running for president, I think it was 2012. Geez, that's almost 4 years ago, isn't it? Man, how old were you 4 years ago? Ugh. Well, anyways, Mitt Romney lost the election largely due to the fact that the Democrats, et cetera, mainstream media, were able to create this manufactured war on women argument. Something that didn't exist then really doesn't exist now, especially not in the context that they framed it in at the time. But Mitt Romney, you know, he had binders full of women, which was horrible, apparently. And also, of course, Mitt Romney wanted to ban all contraception because, duh. Absolutely moronic, but whatever. All right, let's go there. That's totally what was going to happen. Although I could have swore that it was Cory Gardner that banned birth control. But I digress. Mitt Romney loses the election in 2012, largely due to the fact that the mainstream media Democrats manufactured this idea of a war on women. Now let's go back just a couple of weeks ago. Oh, man. I don't know if the Wayback Machine goes back that far. Dang. Darn. Dang it, man. I don't think it can go back. Just a few weeks ago, the beginning of this month, when Donald Trump's internal argument in my mind. When Mr. Trump's campaign manager grabs a female reporter, pulls her back, bruises her arm, and it's shrugged off as she's delusional. She just wants to be the news, not report the news. All the while she's a reporter for Breitbart.com, which has pretty much become the propaganda arm of the Trump campaign. Even though Andrew Breitbart is probably rolling over in his grave several times by now due to this fact. But whatever. She's pulled back so hard, so tightly, that there are bruises on her arm. She never said that she almost fell over. That was other people. But she only claimed that she was off balance quite a bit. And the only response from the Trump campaign was, she is delusional. It never happened. Corey Lewandowski, the campaign manager in question, went so far as to say, I never touched you. Now, there are other rumors going around the whatever media cycle. Female reporters are talking to one another. They're saying, if Lewandowski calls you after 11 p.m., don't answer the phone because all he's trying to do is hook up with you. because he's drunk, which, you know, be that as it may, it's whatever, it happens. I feel to do. But Mr. Trump himself would go on to say, you know, it never happened. Nobody ever saw it. With all the people in the area, there, no one saw it at all. It never happened. Blah, blah, blah. Then there's videos that came out. Or first, and initially there was a audio transcript of Michelle Fields, the female reporter, formerly of Breitbart.com, and a Washington Post reporter. They were talking, was that Tory? Did he just do that? Wow, I can't believe that. Wow, what? Why? Then there was video that kind of showed something happened, but not really. And there was another video that showed a lot more, that really pretty much you could tell that it was Corey Lewandowski. But now, finally, police in, I believe this took place in Florida, wherever, whatever county, saying Florida, who cares? Sorry. They decided to press charges against Corey Lewandowski to this manner. They released a surveillance tape, which clearly shows Corey Lewandowski pulling Michelle Fields pretty hard. It's like the modern-day Zapruder film, almost. But Trump himself, just a couple of days ago, went so far as to say, well, if she's going to sue him, maybe I could sue her, or maybe I should sue her, because, you know, she grabbed my arm trying to talk to me. Breitbart.com, of course, buried Michelle Fields. Initially, Michelle didn't want to make a big deal out of it. She was just saying, could you give me an apology? But no, all they did was deny, oh, you're delusional, you're blah, blah, blah. So I guess these bruises magically appeared on my arm, she said on Twitter with a picture of bruises on her arm. It's all disgusting, man. All very, very disgusting. How anyone has allowed this guy to cloud their judgment this damn much, where pretty much he could literally shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and no one would bat an eye. Not one of his supporters would be like, hey, that's, well, he needed to be shot. The person needed to be shot. Hey, we got to make America great again. This is absolutely insane. Absolute, total, 100% insanity. Now let's go to a little bit more on Trump's war on women. First and foremost, there was some sort of CNN town hall thing with all the three remaining Republican candidates, although it's really two Republican candidates. John Kasich, the Gary Shandling lookalike, and rest in peace, Gary Shandling. But John Kasich, the Gary Shandling lookalike, just refuses to get out. He's just being some sort of spoiler for somebody, most likely Trump. That was close. Anyways, so let's focus on Trump here for a moment. Firstly, before we go into, like, the mainstream media sort of war on women argument, let's go to something that's... I mean, I don't know how it could get more disgusting than physically harming a woman, but this is pretty damn close to being more physically more disgusting than the whole Michelle Fields situation. Now, if you don't know, let's start here. An anti-Trump super PAC called Make America Awesome Again, headed by some woman, I can't think of her name off the top of my head. They put out some web ad. It's basically just a meme of, what's her name? Trump's wife, Melania. Yes, Melania. I always get her and Ivanka confused, but whatever. Melania. From this GQ shoot where she's pretty much naked. I mean, you don't see any naughty bits, really, but whatever. News channels are still censoring it, I guess, just in case there's any teenage boys in the room or something. I don't know. So they have that picture, and it says something along the lines of, is this what you want your first lady to look like, America or Utah? Yeah, it was targeted at Utah because Mormons. And, excuse me, sorry. Trump immediately blames Ted Cruz because, obviously, Ted Cruz was totally behind it. Obviously. Trump goes on Twitter and says, well, hey, if you don't, I'm going to spill the beans on your wife. I'm going to spill the beans. I'm going to tell the truth about your wife, lying Ted. Anyways, it all breaks down. The only thing that Trump does is post another meme on Twitter where it's a very, you know, very unflattering photo of Heidi Cruz, you know, Ted's wife, where she's speaking mid-sentence and it looks, she looks like a witch, essentially. Even though, you know, she's a good-looking woman. You know, she's not like, I don't know, she's not, never mind. I was about to do a microaggression that, Lord knows, you don't want to do that in this day and age. But yeah, it's a very unflattering photo of Heidi Cruz side-by-side to an amazing photo of Melania, who is, you know, she is a supermodel, so a very flattering photo of Melania. And it said, I don't know, a picture says 1,000 words, whatever. Anyways, town hall happens. Trump is talking with Anderson Cooper. Stuff things words. This all comes up. Here we go. Take a listen. Listen, takers.
After saying that you were going to spill the beans about Heidi Cruz, you retweeted an unflattering picture of her next to a picture of your wife.
I thought it was a nice picture of Heidi. I thought it was fine.
Come on.
I thought it was fine. She's a...
And stop right there. No. No. Good God, no. No. How... They say this man isn't a politician. Yet he blatantly, bald-faced, straight-faced, completely lied in front of everybody. Right then. I thought it was a great picture. Good. Sure.
hate this guy. I hate him. I'm sorry, but I do. I hate this guy. He makes my skin crawl. Anyways, let's listen to the full thing now. Now that I got that out of my system, listen to the full thing.
After saying that you were going to spill the beans about Heidi Cruz, you retweeted an unflattering picture of her next to a picture of your wife.
I thought it was a nice picture of Heidi. I thought it was fine.
Come on.
I thought it was fine. She's a pretty woman.
You're running for president of the United States.
Excuse me. I didn't start it.
Okay, that's,
I didn't start it.
But, sir, with all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
I didn't start it. No, it's not the argument.
Yeah,
no,
the argument of a five-year-old is he started it.
You would say that. That's the problem with our country.
Every parent knows
that's
a kid
not
who
a five-year-old.
Says he started it.
Excuse me. No. That's the problem. Exactly that thinking is the problem this country has. I did not start this. He sent out a picture, and he knew very well it was a picture.
He didn't send out a picture.
It was
an
picture of a cover story, Anderson.
Super PAC.
And Anderson Cooper is absolutely right. That is the argument of a five-year-old. He has run a five-year-old's campaign. Congratulations, conservatives. Congratulations, Republicans. Congratulations, Tea Party. Congratulations, Breitbart. You all are joining with Alex fucking Jones in support of this absolute moron. How are you doing this? How can you not see clearly through this guy? I mean, I could understand, like, the youth and everything, people my age that were hugely supporting then senator, now current president of the United States. I could, even though I could see through that, I still understood his appeal, but there is absolutely nothing appealing about this narcissistic sociopath. There is nothing about him that is remotely appealing. Nothing. Man. What is it? Is it the wall? Is it he's going to build a wall? Is that it? Can you even trust him on that? Good God. I do not understand my fellow Republicans, even since I am an unwilling, if you will, member of the Republican Party. I do not get this. I do not get it. Unwilling is not the right word, but whatever. I do have an affinity towards conservatism. I mean, I am a libertarian. I do have an affinity towards conservatives, more so than diehard progressives. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing appealing about this guy. Nothing. Nothing. Just one more time. Listen to this and tell me. If you are a Trump supporter, tell me. Please. Hit me up on Twitter, @Ryan_drunk. Or Facebook.com/RyansDrunk. Tell me. Talk to me in my Trump videos on YouTube. Just search Ryan's Drunk. Ah, shit. I said his name. So I can drink real fast. Alright. Tell me. What is the appeal of this moronic, egotistical sociopath? What? I don't have a lot of time to spend on this, so let's just bang through it as fast as I can. I believe it was just yesterday, Trump was also at another town hall where with just Chris Matthews on MSNBC. You know what? No. We'll hold this over into the break, until after the break. 760-539-3247. Excuse me. Yeah, that drink is, whatever. More on Trump's war on women coming up just after this. But first, before the break, to lead us into the break, let's take a listen to From the Blaze, and in particular, I believe, the Patton Sue Show, theblaze.com, Blaze TV, Patton Sue Show, Chris Matthews montage. It's because what you're about to hear reminds me a lot of this. So whatever, take a listen, listen takers. More Hans's Way, 3247, or the Skype button at the top of the page. If you've got thoughts, comments, or concerns, please. I mean, if somehow you're listening to this right now and you support Mr. Trump, let's try and have a civil conversation, right? I want to know what is appealing about this guy. 760-539-3247 or the Skype page. More coming up just after all this.
I don't know a single thing. Who's paying your salary? He is everything a white conservative should applaud. Everything about him. You ever get the feeling that the Looney Tunes are taking over? Look how he grew up, how he educated himself, how he always did the right thing and stayed clean as a whistle his whole life and raised this beautiful family and did everything great as a father. Everything that the white conservatives say is perfect.
This is about freedom. This is about economic liberty.
Who's paying your salary to do what you're doing right now?
I just told you.
And we're going to have Miami turning into Atlantis by our children's lifetimes. It's not a joke. It's frightening.
No, it's not.
It's real. It's not BS. When's he going to get some credit for this amazing economy that's coming back? It definitely is coming back.
I just told you, Americans for Prosperity, we're 501c4, and we've been advocating. I'm sorry?
Who's paying your to do this today?
It wasn't about the video. Read the newspaper. Thank you. Everybody knows it's about the video.
Here's NPR. Why do I keep saying that? NRA, Executive Vice President Wayne PR. Lobby, I couldn't be more different than the NPR. Everything he's done is clean as a whistle. He's never not only broken any law, he's never done anything wrong. He's the perfect father, the perfect husband, the perfect American. And all they do is trash the guy. Racism is the belief that one race, whites, should rule all others. Get your definition straight. That's all I want to know. Who's paying you? As we all learned in grammar school, younger people watching, trees absorb carbon monoxide.
From Amazon's number 1,772,434th best-selling author comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Gangster Rapper Posse Member.
Mr. Gangster Rapper Posse Member.
Behind every great man, there is a woman. And behind that woman, 14 guys with sideways baseball caps and really baggy pants.
Those pants are giant.
What do you do when you have no talent whatsoever? Attach yourself to someone who does.
But here's what my shit goes.
Gold tooth, check. Giant gold medallion, check. Royalties from record sales, no check.
Help a brother out.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Baron of the Brown Nose. Then crack open another 13 for the rest of the crew.
Mr. Gangster Rabbit Posse Man.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's a new day in America. Today, more people will go to work, return home to their families, and sleep more soundly than ever before. All because one man refuses to settle, putting people before politics. That man is Frank Underwood.
America, I'm only getting started. I'm Frank Underwood, and I approve this message.
Try and make this as quick as I can, but Mr. Trump was on with Matthews, who you just heard, lead us into the break there, because it's total Chris Matthews on display here, just dumbness. So let's see. First, just they're discussing abortion, you know, the left war on women arguments type things. So let's take a listen, takers.
Well, look, I mean, I'm, as you know, I'm pro-life, right? I think you know that. With exceptions, with the three exceptions. But pretty much that's my stance. Is that okay? You understand?
What should the law be on abortion?
Well, I have been pro-life.
I know. What should the law? I know your principle. That's a good value. But well, you know, what should be the law?
They've set the law, and frankly, the judges, and you, I mean, you're going to have a very big election coming up for that reason, because you have judges where it's a real tipping point. And with the loss of Scalia, who was, you know, a very strong conservative, this presidential election is going to be very important, because when you say what's the law, nobody knows what the law is going to be. It depends on who gets elected, because somebody's going to appoint conservative judges and somebody's going to appoint liberal judges depending on who wins.
I've never understood the pro-life position.
All right, so it's just, right, does that sound good? He doesn't even know what he's saying. It's, I hate this guy. Hate him. Whatever, okay, so he's talking abortion. Chris Matthews is all about, well, do you really think there should be punished? Well, here, just the second part of this, let's go.
Well, what crime is it?
Well, it's human life.
No, should the woman be punished for having an abortion?
Look.
This is not something you can dodge.
If abortion is a crime
or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very hard.
But you're
Are you going to say put them in jail? Is that what I'm asking you?
Because you say you want to ban it. What's that mean?
I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had, where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
All right. When I first heard that bit, they're going to have to go to illegal places. What I thought there was that he was saying they have to go to, you know, jail, prison, whatever. They have to go to illegal places, which totally makes sense given that this guy knows absolutely nothing about anything and actually does try to be politically correct almost all the time. But no, he's a straight shooter. He's the only God. We got to vote for him. But whatever, he's talking about, you know, going to, like, backroom doctors, hole in the wall, to get abortions. Illegal abortions under this plan thing. Now, look, of course, I've tried to discuss this time and time again. Number one, abortion is not a presidential issue, nor should it have ever federal issue in the first place. How the Supreme Court ruled it as such in Roe v. Wade is repulsive. It is a states' right issue. blah, blah, blah. That's my feelings on it, number one. And number two, I guess my feeling, I am very pro-life, very pro-life, but I don't believe that my moral code should dictate the masses, I guess. That's my thought on it, even though I'm so wishy-washy on it these days, because it's an argument, an internal argument that I have, whatever. But that still is basically my stance on the pound abortion. It should be, number one, it should be states' rights, not federally, whatever. Roe v. Wade got it wrong. Tough thing. In that regard. Totally ban abortion. I mean, the moralist in me, if you will, says, yes, that's cool. But the legality person in me, especially with Roe v. Wade as it stands today, no, if that makes sense. Whatever. And finally, this last part.
Ban it, they go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think.
How do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, I get to the question. Here's my problem.
No, but let me ask you. But what do you say about...
It's not funny.
...your church? Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're a lot... But the churches make their moral judgments, but you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
Ten years.
I don't know.
You take positions and everything else.
I do take positions and everything else. It's a very complicated position.
So, Trump believes that if a woman were to have an abortion, she should be punished. He doesn't know how. Jail, prison, fine. He doesn't know. I haven't made up my mind. Yeah, I don't know. Please stop asking me questions. You're totally unfair. You're so unfair, Chris Matthews. Most likely that's some sort of Twitter rant that happened. But probably not. Probably not, because Chris Matthews, I don't know if you know this or not, but to the best of my knowledge, he doesn't have usable nipples, nor does he have a vagina. So most likely, Mr. Trump isn't on Twitter crying about how unfair Chris Matthews was, but I could be wrong. Either way, pretty much immediately after that town hall, Trump's campaign came out with a statement. Mr. Trump, blah, 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 he doesn't believe that a woman should be punished. No, you got to punish a doctor. Blah, 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 blah. You know that they were losing their minds backstage after he said that. But look, this just goes to show that this guy cannot make any sort of snap decision. Nothing appealing about this guy. My skin's crawling thinking about this guy as president, because I'm going to be thrown into a internment camp if he becomes president. That's honestly what I'm pretty sure is going to happen. Anyways, onward and upward to more awesome things. We're going to be discussing Daredevil right now, so let's take a quick little listen to the first part, I guess, of Netflix's Marvel's Daredevil Season 2 trailer. Take a listen. Listen, takers.
One match. Two match. Finished.
Downtown office thinks we got a new player in Hell's Kitchen.
What do they want?
The D
DA's office says the shooter's independent.
He's tracking gangs to their home turf and taking them out with military precision.
With knowledge and hardware to take out half the city, Hell's Kitchen is about to explode.
Bang.
Maybe we created him. All of us.
There's no connection.
We never stopped to think that Daredevil's actions could open the door for men like this.
How much longer before innocent people start getting caught in his crossfire?
Blood is being shed.
And you've donated more than your fair share.
The city needs him.
I need to take care of the scum that killed my family.
People don't have to die.
You hit them and they get back up. I hit them and they stay down. Why are you doing this?
Because I think you're a half measure. I think you're a man who can't finish the job.
I think that you're a coward.
You know, you're one bad day away from being me.
Elektra.
Hello, Matthew.
All right, so over the last few weeks or so, it's taken me up until about, Tuesday or so, when I finally finished the Daredevil Season 2 on Netflix Marvel thing. Number one, let me just say that I enjoyed it a lot more than the first season. The first season felt a lot like watching Batman Begins for 13 hours. 13 hours. Which, I mean, it's fine, you know. Batman Begins is a great movie. But, you know, you want to see Daredevil and or Batman be in the bat suit. Not just walk around with, like, some random little ski mask for a while, you know? And, you know, I didn't like that aspect of the first season of Daredevil. I didn't like, spoilers, just in case you haven't watched last season. I didn't like that seemingly Fisk was just put away right away. That seemed pretty dumb. You know, Kingpin. He was thrown in jail right away, never to be seen again, at least seemingly. I don't think I'll go into spoilers yet. I might in a little bit here on Season 2. But, Season 2, I enjoyed it a lot more, mostly because it's a bit more superhero-y, I guess. It's more along the lines of what you were expecting with the first of Daredevil, at least from my perspective. Plus, Punisher is great. There are some aspects of the Punisher story, things that I don't really care about, don't like. But that's just me. I'm not a huge Marvel guy, so let's go into that, obviously. I mean, it should be pretty obvious at this point, right? You're a long-time listener of the show. I'm not a huge Marvel guy, but as in I don't know as much about their characters outside of Spider-Man. But given Spider-Man, through that I know Kingpin, blah, blah, blah. And I absolutely loved, just on the record, I absolutely loved the Thomas Jane first Punisher movie. I thought it was fantastic. But apparently it's too campy or some odd reason, or just Thomas Jane didn't want to do a sequel or whatever, so everything fell apart. I never saw the second Punisher movie. Just on the record, whatever. John Bernthal, though, as Punisher, on paper, that sounded fantastic. And while he is good in the series, there was something was missing. I can't put my finger on it. Something was lacking. Something was just not totally there for me. I mean, he is good, but there's something off about it. I can't put my finger on it. I would if I could. I mean, hell, I lambasted Batman v Superman for a while, even though I did enjoy that movie as well, but last week, and I pretty much could name all the things that I thought of that were wrong with it. I just can't put my finger on. There's just something missing in John Bernthal's Punisher. I don't know. Good, yes, but there's something about it that's keeping me reserved, I guess you could say. The Hand, I don't care about. I absolutely do not care about it. This is something that was discussed a bit on the old Drunken Radio Show, not necessarily on Hans's Way. But I guess you could say that I'm like an Asian racist, especially considering today's definition of racist just means anything involving a race outside of your own, because, you know, millennials with their safe spaces and trigger warnings. Even though I guess technically I'm a millennial myself, apparently. I don't know. What am I trying to say? Oh, The Hand stuff. I just say shit about Asian culture. I don't know what it is, but ninjas, anything to do with Asian culture, it's just anime. I absolutely hate anime. I absolutely hate that the DC movies, the animated movies, are looking more and more and more like anime. It absolutely repulses me, but whatever. Just because I don't like Asian culture outside of, like, food. I'm sorry. If that makes me a racist, then I'm fine. Give me that. Whatever. So The Hand, I really didn't care about any of that shit at all. Don't give a shit whatsoever. It's a war stick, and although the Electra bits in it were cool, I won't go into real details about that because spoilers. But yeah, the Electra bits of The Hand aspect are cool. So, you know, the moments with stick and everything. So I guess I like Asian culture as long as it's white people doing it. Because I'm a racist. Whatever, man. If that's what I am, fine, Soviet. Won't be the first time, I guess. Even though, you know, I have Asian friends. Timmy, who was a quasi-co-host here for almost, you know, a few months. He is Asian. He's one of my... I'd consider him a good friend. But, yeah. I'm an Asian racist. Whatever. I'll shut up. I'll get off of this. There were quite a few surprises. Again, I don't want to spoil it. But there were a couple of awesome surprises. One thing I will spoil, it's a very, very minor spoiler. It has to do with the story, not necessarily the overall plot, or it's just a sub-story that happens. Daredevil and Karen Page, I can't think of the actress's name, but she was Jessica in True Blood, whatever her name is. they kind of sort of hook up-ish. I mean, not really. They just go out on a date and, you know, they start to fall for each other or whatever. I did like that. It's that Karen and Foggy needed to be the item of the show. Get out. Stop that right now. Kill this story with fire right now. Kill it. Kill it dead. Sorry, I keep playing with this flash drive, and it's making lots of noise, I'm sure, but it's keeping my hand busy. What? Anyway, let's see. Other things. Punisher's good. Just, again, something's missing. Can't put my finger on it. Daredevil, you know, the actor, I can't even think of his name. Ben somebody, I think. He's absolutely fine. Just as good as he was last season, if not better. Another minor spoiler, just because I'm losing things of what to talk about here. And hey, if you've got thoughts on Daredevil, go ahead and call in. The number, of course, 760-539-3247. Or you can click on the Skype button at the top of the page if you've got thoughts on Daredevil that you'd like to share quickly. But anyways, just another minor spoiler from season two. Karen kind of sort of starts to work at the newspaper where, you know, the reporter from season one, who, spoiler alerts for season one, she starts working there. She's given his office and stuff. I mean, not necessarily working, or is she? Oh, whatever. She's working now. Stop that. So, yeah. There's that, which I thought was a pretty awesome little tidbit thrown in there. There's things where you get about Karen's past that are hinted at. Apparently, Karen does have some sort of awesome dark past or something in comics. I'm unfamiliar, but I guess we'll see. And finally here, skip about 10 minutes or so, if you're listening to this podcast, and I'll give one last huge spoiler, just because it's something that I absolutely loved about this season. So, spoilers, skip about 7 to 10 minutes if you don't want this spoiler from season 2 of Daredevil. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, spoiler. Kingpin does come back, and it was totally, totally awesome. I absolutely loved seeing him again, his interactions in prison, especially this little fight that he has with Matt Murdock. It's absolutely fantastic. He's actually truly becoming the Kingpin, but from in prison, and it's awesome. It's, oh, God, I love whatever the dude's name is that plays him. Dominic something or other, whatever. I'm so racist, apparently. I think someone named Dominic, because that obviously has racial and cultural undertones. Anyways, he plays Kingpin, and he is, so good. So good seeing Kingpin being done real, absolutely beautiful justice whilst he's serving out justice, I guess, from in prison. It's just great. I absolutely love seeing him back, and then I absolutely love seeing him become the Kingpin from within the prison. It is damn near beautiful. And I loved it, absolutely, positively loved those couple of episodes in which he's featured. It's so good, so damn good. All right, 760-539-3247 or the Skype button if you've got thoughts, comments, or concerns about anything that I've talked about tonight, you know, Mr. Drumpf, Daredevil, whatever, we're going to go into WrestleMania just after this. So 760-539-3247 or the Skype page, hour two of Hamza's Way starts all of this. But first, part two of the Daredevil trailer, just to get you pumped up in case you haven't watched it yet. Here we go.
Would you believe it if I said I missed you?
No.
I need your help, Matthew. You're the only person I can trust.
Oh, sweetheart, you don't break into my house and then talk to me about trust. What do you want from me?
You fight better than anyone I know. And I have information. The Yakuza never left.
That's impossible. I drove them out of New York City.
No, you didn't. They just hibernated and watched you take out all of their enemies. Now, New York is ripe for the taking.
If we do this, nobody dies. Do you understand?
Hungry?
Every time I walk up those stairs, I wonder if today's the day you're dead in your living room. There are horrible things happening in this city. I'm done apologizing to you for who I am. The city needs me.
This isn't your city anymore.
My way isn't working. What if that never happens?
The battle has begun, Matthew. There's nothing we can do but fight.
They're called the Hand.
You cannot stop what we have started. The Rising is coming.
You've been working out, by the way. I appreciate that.
The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
I'm your GPS. Turn right up ahead. You never update me, so now I just have to wing it.
I meant turn left up ahead.
Recalculating. Turn right now! And your cut rate insurance may not pay for all this, so get Allstate. You can save money and be better protected from mayhem. Like me.
Recalculating.
Mayhem is everywhere, so get an Allstate agent. Are you in good hands?
Time to get rid of the Republicans. The time has come. No, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it just, it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all.
Obviously.
Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
It has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people, at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Fat Fleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know? It's
stuff things, words.
Damn, God, it's on. God, I hate him. Oh, man.
You are listening to Arms His Way with Ryan and Hobbs.
All right. Hello and welcome, everybody, to this last half hour of the show, which is hour number two, I guess, of Arms His Way with me. I am, of course, your humble drunkard from afar. My name is Ryan Arms. And for right now, what I want to discuss is, of course, WrestleMania 32 coming up this Sunday, live from Dallas, Texas. All of that, $9.99 a month or whatever. WrestleMania WWE things. And in that regard, I guess that kind of sort of makes this portion of the show an episode of
Now, in an industry where everybody wants to be real, everybody wants to do a shoot, this, my friends, is a shoot.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
So I'm going to be shooting from the heart.
I don't want to give it to serve them.
And that is a promise, because this is true. This is real. Frustrated into the goddamn workforce. This is bullshit.
Oh, shit. Watch your fucking mouth.
Oh, fuck me.
God damn it. Fuck.
You know that I know that you are only half the man that I am. And I have half the brain that you do.
And they add 66 and two-thirds percent. I got 141 and two-thirds chance of winning at sacrifice.
Who are you to doubt El Dan?
The unscripted, uncensored Luke Cannon of commentary.
Welcome to the Shootout with Ryan and Jordan.
And of course, Jordan isn't here, nor has he ever really been here, except for maybe one or two episodes of when that show was taking place. But either way, I digress. Jordan, still love you. If you ever listen to this somehow, still love you, dude. It's all good. What am I, WrestleMania 32? This is the one time of year in which WWE is supposed to not be lazy. It's the one time of year where WWE is supposed to put together their very best supercard. And dang darn dang it, man, this just isn't it. It is not at all. Now, I mean, I know largely it's not their fault because so many people are injured from John Cena all the way down to Nikki Bella, which isn't that far away. There isn't that big of a disconnect between those two, if you get my drift. But Cena, Orton, Cesaro, Neville now, everybody is injured. Daniel Bryan is injured for good. God, there's so many people that are injured. Everyone that was a champion at, or left last year's WrestleMania as champion is injured. Just crazy. Seth Rollins, of course, still is out injured. Maybe given that handicap, this could be the best that WWE could throw together. I don't know. Let's see. First, the pre-show, we've got Kalisto versus Ryback for the U.S. title. The Total Divas, Brie Bella Page, Natalya, Alicia Fox, and Eva Marie versus Bad and Blonde. Lana, Summer Rae, Naomi, Emma, and Tamina. Yep, it's such Divas Revolution. Much something to formula with them. And finally, there's the Usos versus the Dudley Boys. The only way that this could have been interesting is if there was a babyface. Oh, no, not babyface. A babyface authority figure. I was like, Dudleys, shut up. If you want to beat the Usos at WrestleMania, you've got to put them through a table. That's the only way that this match could have been interesting. But it's just, it's not. And there's a 4-on-3 handicap match. This is the regular card now, apparently. 4-on-3 handicap match, the New Day versus the League of Nations. Like, is anyone supposed to care about that? The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Ugh. And then finally, there's something decent. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, The Miz, Stardust. All seven people who are, aside from three, are just randomly shoved in this match for some reason. Just to make it more interesting or something. I don't know, but it's seven men just because. It couldn't have just survived with three or even four. No, we needed at least three or four more guys in there. We have to. A ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship, much like last year. Ladder match, whatever. It's fine. Although it's kind of, I'm just wondering from like a technical standpoint how that's going to work. Because, you know, there's a ladder match and a Hell in a Cell match on a card. I think this is the very first time ever that that's ever happened. I mean, when you think of the, like, logistics of it, how the hell are they going to get, I mean, I'm sure it's fairly simple to get, you know, the cord thing through the Hell in the Cell, but I don't know, it's just a random, minor, interesting logistical point or something, whatever. I've always been curious about it, and now I'm pretty sure for the very first time, this is the very first card with both a ladder match and a Hell in a Cell match in it, so. Interesting. Just interested me, anyways. Whatever. Divas Championship will be Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks. Now I know. Divas Revolution. Women are awesome now and stuff, but I still just don't care. Call me. I guess I'm a sexist too from tonight's show. I'm racist, and now I'm definitely sexist because I don't like watching women wrestle in WWE-ness. I I've never really cared about it. I mean, there's been a few matches, especially in, like, the, I guess they call it the Ruthless Aggression era, with Trish Stratus, Lita, hell, Mickey James even, and Victoria. Hell, that hardcore match with Victoria and Trish Stratus at the Survivor Series 2002 was great, but whatever. I've never really cared about women's wrestling, and the Divas Revolution definitely didn't help or really even hinder my opinion. I don't care. And everyone's like, oh, NXT, women's awesome thing. I still don't care. But whatever. That's just personal taste, I guess. Hate me, slay me. I'm a sexist now, too. Shane McMahon and The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. If Shane wins, he gets control of Raw. But also, if he wins, The Undertaker will no longer be allowed to compete at WrestleMania. So, why? This storyline does not make sense outside of the McMahons. Why is Undertaker agreeing to do this? He's been called Vince's bitch time and time again. He's like, yep, I'm Vince's bitch. I'm going to kill you, Shane. I mean, I understand that they wanted to do Cena and Undertaker and this let this be Undertaker's last WrestleMania, but since Cena's injured, they had to go with something, and this is rushed together worse than Batman v Superman. Alright? This whole story. Why? Plus Bray Wyatt's not even on the card unless the Wyatt family is like all four of them are the mystery entrance to the Battle Royal, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal or something. Bray Wyatt's not even on the card. I'm not saying that he should be fighting Undertaker again, but whatever. It's just, I don't even know. Why is this happening? Yeah, it's let's see, Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar in a street fight. Probably, potentially, will be match of the night. Maybe. I mean, they were building towards, and now they were even still building towards Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar from Royal Rumble and Fastlane, but no, Dean Ambrose instead. Dean Ambrose is the most over babyface on the roster, but I don't. I don't get it. I guess. I think what happened was Brock Lesnar was pissed at Dean Ambrose after WrestleMania for some reason, and so after Royal Rumble for some reason, even though the Wyatts were the people that he should have been pissed at. So Brock just attacks Dean Ambrose. I forget. It doesn't make sense. And finally, the main event. Triple H versus Roman Reigns. No disqualification match. World Heavyweight Championship. Whatever. We all know Roman's going to win. Even though a bunch of Europeans are probably going to just start demolishing things there in Dallas, Texas. and it'll be like a second revolutionary war all of a sudden, almost, kind of. A bunch of Europeans that are here from just to see Mania, they're going to start rioting, probably, once Roman Reigns wins. And this isn't the supercard that it could be. I mean, I don't know what is the supercard that it should be. I mean, Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar makes some sense to go with because that's what you were building. With no conclusion. Nothing. Terrible. Oh, shit, I skipped my thoughts for AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho because, yeah, let's see this match again at Mania this time. I'm not a fan of this year's WrestleMania, but there could be some diamonds in the rough here. The ladder match will be very good, I'm sure. Maybe Zack Ryder will finally get his WrestleMania moment, his true WrestleMania moment, not just getting punched in the dick by Eva, or what was her name? Not Eva Marie. Whatever, Eve Mendes. Whatever her name was, Eve Torrance. Whatever. He's not just getting punched in the dick this time. He's going to have some awesome, like, ladder, broski boot moment or something anyways. So, good on you, Zack Ryder. Even though he didn't answer my question on Twitter, even though I asked it several times last week, at Zack Ryder, how many times are you confused with at Zack Snyder? But, whatever. Stardust, Sin Cara, and Zack Ryder himself are just thrown in this match. I mean, The Miz is kind of just thrown in this match too, but if anything, it should be just a triple threat. Owens, Zayn, Ziggler. Maybe there's some argument for Miz to be in it. But no, we need at least seven people. Whatever. Let's just get some bottom of the barrel mid-carders, lower mid-carders, throw them in here, yeah, why not? Intercontinental Champions and ladder match! Although, yes, I am happy for Zack Ryder. Andre, whatever, I'll go into all of my predictions and stuff. It'll be a video uploaded tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, Friday. Year of Our Lord, 2016, April the 1st. On YouTube, just search Ryan's Drunk, one word, on YouTube. Hell, yeah, I mean, if you've been listening this whole time, check out the Countdown to WrestleMania videos. I did several top 10 WrestleMania-related countdowns. Supposed to be one every week, but I got messed up, whatever. And anyways, I just did two yesterday and today. So, yeah, let's see, there was top 10 WrestleMania moments, top 10 WrestleMania matches, top 10 worst WrestleMania matches, and today, top 10 WrestleManias. Tomorrow, it will definitely be tomorrow, on YouTube, check out my WrestleMania predictions. Stuff things words. My name is Ryan. I am your humble drunkard from afar. This has been Harms' Way for this week. Next week, I'm sure I'll have thoughts on how WrestleMania went. And hey, before I totally end, Undertaker and Shane McMahon should be a very entertaining match. I'm not discounting that. Triple H and Roman Reigns should be a very entertaining match as well. It just depends on everything, but then there's going to be a riot in Dallas, Texas. The Europeans are going to start World War III. and we're going to blame it on Muslims or something. It's going to WrestleMania 32 is going to kickstart World War III because of riots in Dallas, Texas. Stuff, things, words, awesomeness. My name, of course, is Ryan Harms. This has been Harms' Way. We'll see you next week. Who knows? Awesomeness. Stuff, things, words. Take care, everybody. And, of course, stay out of Harms' Way.
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author, comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2, More Drunken Ramblings You Won't Read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2, More Drunken Ramblings You Won't Read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Push-Up Bra Inventor.
Mr. Push-Up Bra Inventor.
Never before has one man done so much with so little.
Lifting them higher.
From mosquito bites, pimples, and pancakes to melons, mountains, and Major League Yabos. An engineering feat so brilliant, it can only be described as va-va-va-voom. Thanks to you, even a 90-year-old grandmother can go from A to double D in a single bound.
What's your number, Granny?
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh hoister of the hooter, because when it comes to the bust, you're the best.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm the world's worst cleaning lady. Cleanliness was supposed to be my middle name. But then my parents settled on Janet. Now, I'm here in your home having a pretty spectacular Tuesday.
But I don't notice the loose rug at the top of your stairs.
And that's about to become an issue for me.
If you've got the wrong home insurance coverage, my medical bills could get expensive. So get Allstate. Rage and help keep you protected from mayhem.
Like me.
Good hands, good home. Make sure you have the right home protection. Talk to an Allstate agent.
Get The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.